there and welcome to a special edition of the Post podcast. I'm Mary Regan, Sunday Business Post public affairs editor, and I'm joined by our health editor, Susan Mitchell, and we're going to discuss the ongoing controversy around the cervical cancer screening. Now, it's 2 weeks and a day since Vicky Phelan broke down in tears on the steps of the High Court after receiving €2.5 million settlement in her case against a US lab for misreading a cervical smear test. 2 weeks on, and the details of what happened in her case and other cases are still emerging. The Health Minister, Simon Harris, has announced a scoping inquiry to look at these questions, which could lead to a full-scale investigation. Susan, there's a lot of confusion out there, and there's 900 people a day are calling the special helpline. Are women more frightened than perhaps they ought to be in relation to this?
Well, I think there is a lot of women are very frightened by what they've been seeing and reading over the past 2 weeks. And I think confidence has been seriously eroded in our national cervical screening programme. And that's understandable, because up until 2 weeks ago, very few of us actually knew about things such as false negatives, which is where screening tests come back and fail to pick up or detect abnormalities in a woman's cervical screen check. So women, and indeed the wider public, have been alarmed by this, frightened by this. And obviously the minister has invited all women, or has told all women, that they can avail of another cervical smear test if they so wish. But there has been criticism within the medical profession of that announcement, which doesn't appear to have been made with any clinical input, because there is a fear that this has exacerbated people's anxiety, because obviously when you hear that something is being offered again, you get a sense, well, then there must have been something wrong the first time. And we actually have not established that. Now, obviously, there are lingering questions that this entire debacle has thrown up, such as, how accurate and how good is our cervical screening programme? There are questions around the labs, because obviously some of the smears that have been taken here in Ireland have been outsourced to private labs, both here and overseas. And this occurred despite questions and criticism at the time. Largely doctors and others at the time said that they felt that the way in which the smear tests were being analysed in these labs wasn't as good as it is here. Now, that has been categorically dismissed by the HSE, which said that any of those criticisms were addressed at the time. But there are still lingering questions, and hopefully in the last couple of days, the Minister for Health has obviously announced the decision to proceed with a scoping inquiry to examine various issues that have arisen, and this will be one of the issues that Dr. Gabriel Scally, who has agreed to lead this inquiry, will have to address to help put people's minds at rest, hopefully.
But surely offering screen testing to everyone is the safe and sensible thing to do. So why do doctors feel this way?
Well, what they've said is that it was a bit of a political knee-jerk reaction to what is a serious problem and obviously a major concern to the public. But many of the doctors who I've spoken to have said that the more sensible thing to do would be to get the initial slide, because all of these cervical smear slides are still retained by the labs, as I understand it, that originally read them. And if women were concerned, that it would have made a lot more sense for the initial or the last screening test that a woman did to simply be reanalyzed. Because what's now happening is, large numbers of women are booking in with their GPs, and it's going to be a very costly exercise. And doctors have said that it's using up a lot of manpower, when the more simple option would have been to simply reanalyze the test.
And there has been a lot of focus on the HSE boss, Tony O'Brien, in recent days. I suppose him and his organisation should rightly be held to account for what happened here and the failure to notify women who'd received false negative tests. But in some ways, is the focus on his position a bit of a distraction?
You're right. There were serious, serious failings in relation to disclosure on this, and that related to the cervical check programme itself. There are, I suppose, two sides to this. On the one hand, you have patients who have been really adversely affected, like Vicky Phelan, not just politicians, calling for Tony O'Brien to lose his job. But what the Taoiseach and the government have said in response to that is, well, Tony O'Brien is due to finish up his term in office in 2 months' time. And right now, we have not established all of the facts around what went on here. For example, we do not know, as I mentioned earlier, about the false negative reporting rates from different labs. Are there inconsistencies around this? Tony O'Brien, senior officials in the HSE have said Tony O'Brien wasn't alerted to the failure to disclose these false negatives to women. But I think to some extent you're right in that, you know, the political system has a lot of things to answer to in respect of this. Number one, and in fairness, they have been called out on this, the failure to insist or to proceed with mandatory open disclosure, which is where doctors and indeed institutions must tell patients of adverse incidents that negatively affect their health. And Alan Shatter, when he was Minister for Justice, and a previous Health Minister, James Riley, announced they would proceed with this, and so did Taoiseach Leo Varadkar when he was Health Minister. But then Varadkar, when he was in situ, rode back on that on the advice of his Chief Medical Officer. So that's obviously one key issue that has emerged in this whole controversy, that you could say, well, if politicians had proceeded with the legislation, would we be where we are now, or would doctors have disclosed this information to patients?
There are other actions that politicians could have taken as well, including reinstating the board of the HSE, which might have improved overall governance in the HSE.
Exactly. James Riley axed the HSE board back in, I think it was 2011 or 2012. Here we are in 2018, and it has no board, which is incredible when you think that this is an organisation with a budget of 14 or 15 billion and about 105,000 employees. So it's incredible that an organisation of that magnitude doesn't have proper governance structures. But it's not just that. You know, Mary, back in the programme for partnership government, there was a commitment. You know, one of the key criticisms that has emerged recently and was highlighted by Vicky Phelan's case before the courts was this awful process that patients have to go through to try and, get justice and get redress for any errors that might be done, or medical negligence in the health service. And the government actually had committed to setting up a review group to examine our so-called adversarial legal system, which is both time consuming and extremely costly. Our legal fees are enormous here. But we're, 2 years into this into the tenure of this government, and there's no sign, or there has been no sign, of that happening. And it's only since Vicky Phelan started advocating for change that the Taoiseach has said that he has asked his Attorney General, the Minister for Justice and the Minister for Health to liaise on this. But as of yet, we've no detail about what they plan to do.
So it may be a case of our political establishment being reactionary rather than proactive on this issue. Well, that is all from the Post podcast for now. Thank you for joining us.